Lessons we can all understand, isn't there? When you feed lambs, sheep can also understand and also get fed. So, love that. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This evening I would like to look at faith. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Notice in verse 13, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now beginning to read in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and said, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, Lord, why don't you bid me to come walking on the water? Jesus said, Come. How many of you have ever walked in water? You ever meet anybody that has? They're all over the place, aren't they? As in not. You know, it's not a common day occurrence. The disciples were out on the sea, and things were not going well. The winds were contrary. Says later, they were boisterous. I think we have a picture of that in our heads. And there's a spirit walking by. And I am scared of him. And then he says, That spirit or that person, whatever, said, Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now Peter replies, If it is you, Lord, tell me to come. Walk to you. And Jesus just said, Come. And Peter was nuts enough to do it. He got out of that boat while the wind was blowing, and he walked toward Jesus on the water. I said he was nuts enough. That's not really the word. He had enough faith. Or whatever. And when Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, Peter, you had so much faith, you got out of the boat. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? It amazes me, the words Jesus used to Peter after Peter followed him, walking on the water. He said, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? I would have thought it takes a lot of faith to walk on water. Can you match that faith? Jesus called it little faith. Now, I'll grant you, he called it that after Peter began to sink, after Peter apparently lost it somewhere. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed at Peter. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, when Peter and Jesus got into the ship, that's when the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, and saying, Of a truth, you are the Son of God. If Jesus Christ came walking on the water, and you were in the boat with these boys, these young guys, and Jesus asked you to come to him, would you go? Would you go? Would you have enough of grace or faith or whatever to get out of that boat and go? Well, you know, there are times in our lives that the wind's boisterous. They're contrary. Things are not going well. And Jesus walks by. And you see him. And he says, It's I. It's me. Why don't you come to me? Do we go? Do we go? You know that if you get out of that boat, hey, the wind's boisterous, it's contrary, there's all kinds of things going on. But he says, come. Are you going to go? Do you have the faith that it takes to go? Or will he need to say to you, O thou of little faith, why are you doubting? What is faith? All right, do you have a definition for faith? I'm open to input. What is it? Are we talking about something you don't know what it is? What is faith? Okay. It involves trust. Definitely. I'm hard of hearing. Believing, okay. Find that in the Bible, don't you? You know, what does that mean? Say it again, Chris. Something pointing to something? Okay. You have speaking in tongues here? Sorry, no, I don't. A little too Dutch for me. All right, can you English fight? Oh, were you quoting the German for Hebrews? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. German is a colorful language, I know. It's a descriptive language. It's good. We should learn it. No, better yet, you should learn Hebrew or Greek. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Actually, I'd like to spend quite a bit of time in there this evening. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for his season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received dead to life again. Sounds not too bad, doesn't it? Are you interested in it? I think we are. It is a picture of God working through his children. I stopped mid-sentence. And others. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. Interested in that type of faith? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, and without us should not be made perfect. I'll end reading there. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A Good News Bible. To have faith is to be sure of things we hope for, to be certain of things we cannot see. God's Word Bible. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith. I don't really have a description of it for you. But it says here that without that faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to come to God, you must believe that He is. Where do you get that faith from? How can you believe in God? Can we believe in God? I really think that the grace of God brings that. God brings that into our lives. He brings grace into our lives. He brings faith into our lives. I'd like to look at a little bit of what faith looks like and acts like. I think it will help us understand a little bit. And I'd like to take some of these examples here in chapter 11. Looking at Cain and Abel. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What for sacrifice did Abel offer, and what for sacrifice did Cain offer? Go ahead. You know I'm going to ask you a question on it, but that's all right. What did Cain offer? Fruit of the ground. What was his job? He was a farmer. He was a tiller. What did God send Adam out of the garden to do? Till the ground. I don't think Cain was in the wrong business. What did Abel bring? Okay, first fruit of the flock. Probably what? A lamb. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Why did God have respect unto Abel's offering and not unto Cain's? It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Do you have any idea? So do you think, like Cain offered his sacrifice of the fruit of the land without faith? Out of duty, okay? Okay.
No, I don't think it's just that.
All right. Okay, okay. Do you think Cain's was maybe the offfall of his crops? You ever wish sometimes the scripture would say a little more? It doesn't say. It doesn't say. So we're going to have to read between the lines a little bit. Okay, okay. Okay. Does the Bible say anywhere that not everything is recorded in it that it could be, you know, actually if it would be, we'd have volumes of it, you know, and things. But personally, I think that when Adam and Eve sin, they clothe themselves with leaves. They clothe themselves with the fruit of the ground. Now, I know there's thoughts and that it was skimpy and not enough and, you know, all that. But I really don't think that was a point. I personally believe, well, what did God clothe them with? Skin. Where'd he get them? As he said, let there be light, there was light. As he said, let there be stars and moon, and there was stars and moon, you know. And as he said, I need skin for these people. There was skin. It doesn't say that, does it? I believe that God taught them sacrifice at that point. The Bible doesn't say this. I believe Abel caught it and Cain didn't. There was a sacrifice that Abel brought, and it included the shedding of blood. I personally believe Cain brought the best of his crop. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. You read, you know, but I believe that. But anyway, it wasn't that it was moldy or not right. Or that's how I look at it. But it was what God had asked for. And he later asked for grain offerings. There's not a doubt. People, when God asks, and it doesn't make sense, and we do it anyway, that's faith. That's what faith looks like. When God says, come, and it doesn't make sense to go, faith goes. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Seems to me that Abel's faith is what declared and what witnessed his righteousness. He was right. He was following God the way God had asked them to. Enoch, he was translated that he should not see death. He wasn't found. Before he was translated, he had the testimony about him that he pleased God. And right the next verse says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you want to please God, you need to believe him. You need to believe that he is. You need to believe that he is a rewarder. He isn't just a puppet in the sky or, you know, just a whatever. He is a rewarder. A rewarder is something that we like or we don't like. It depends a lot on what we believe. If we want the rewards from him. I'll pass over Noah for now. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I prefer God tells me where I'm going before I go. Actually, I ask that of him so often. I think Abraham here, Abraham, as he moved, you know, God said, go, and he went. But you know, there are times in our lives. Well, actually, tonight, when you leave here, do you know where you're going? You know where you're planning on going. But you know where you're going? Are you going to follow God? By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. God had promised it to him, but he lived there as in a strange country. I mean, it was just living in tents with his boys, who were the heirs of that same promise, that this is yours. But he was looking beyond that. He was looking for a city. He was looking for one that has been built by God. We can relate with that too. Why do we have to know everything here? By faith, we look for that city. Verse 17, we'll look at Abram again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22. Beginning to read at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And here I think King James Version has the wrong word for our time, at least as language has evolved. I think test would be much, much better there. So I'll use that. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. How many boys did Abraham have at this time? Wrong. At least two. Would Abraham have rather offered Ishmael than Isaac? Okay, I'll disagree with you, but that's all right. Hagar was a little bit of a thorn in the flesh for for them, I think. Well, I would think her son was too. But God here very, very, very plainly said, take now your son, your only son Isaac. You just have one. You just have one son, Isaac. You know, the one you love. If you want to do an interesting word study, this is the first time love is used in the Bible. I think it gives us a beautiful picture of that the word love through all of Scripture. But take your son, the one you love, Isaac is his name, and take him to Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? 3 days traveling together. I see Pop just dreading that question. Isaac, young man, I think he could have took care of his dad and refused to be sacrificed. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself for a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And again, I think Isaac allowed that. And laid him on the altar in the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Didn't God know that before? Didn't God know Abraham's heart? Does God know your heart? Does he need to test you to see what you're made of? Did he need to test Abraham to see what he was made of? Where his faith was? I believe a lot of this is so that we know where we're at. So Abraham knows where he's at. Now Abraham had received the promise that in your son Isaac, your seed will be called. And here now God says, sacrifice him. Hebrews 11 says that Abraham believed that God could raise him from the dead. Was there anybody raised from the dead before that? That Abraham would have known about or could have known about? As far as I know, it's zilt. None. We have a few examples in the past now that are recorded. Nobody I ever talked to or met. You know, I can't say that, but it is recorded in Scripture. Abraham, that faith. I don't understand you, God. I don't know what you mean.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. I know what you're asking of me, and I will follow you. I don't know how you'll work it out. There are some other things in the Bible like that. Actually, there's some things happen to us in life like that. I remember one time there was something that I just couldn't figure out how God would work it out in Scripture. And I said something to John Yu, you know, that I just, I can't figure out. I guess that's God's problem to take care of. He just told me, I don't think that's a problem for God. And it's not. It's not. It's only a problem in our minds. Do we believe God? Like Abraham did. Verse 23, Moses. Hebrews 11 again. Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king's commandment was, throw all baby boys into the crocodiles. Get rid of them. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Who raised Moses? His parents? For how long? Okay. And then where'd he go? Okay. He went to the courts of Pharaoh as a young man. Where in the world did he find his faith in God? I believe his parents knew that he was going to go to Pharaoh's daughter. And they had him for a short time, and they taught him about God. Here is a strong child training area of Scripture. We need to teach with diligence because they are going into Pharaoh's world. But he caught it. He had faith in God. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why do we do it opposite? So many of us. As we read the first part of Hebrews 11 here, I think faith looks pretty attractive. When I read the last part of it, the others, it talks about and others. It doesn't look quite as attractive to me. I'll read it again. 35b. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What was the difference between the others' faith and the faith of those huge men of God in the beginning of the chapter, men and women of God. What was the difference of their faith? What? No difference. No difference. These all. To me, it's quite a bit of difference. Which would you rather be? The beginning of Hebrews 11 or the latter part of Hebrews 11? Which would you rather have? There are, huh? Do you get to choose? Do we get to choose? Do we get to choose our plate in life? Who gets to choose it? Is it not God that gives it that to us? Why do we chafe at it? Which is easier? Faith in the first part or in the last part? In the first part of Hebrews 11 or in the other part of Hebrews 11? Which faith is easier? What? Stronger in the second part than in the first part. You think so? Okay. So then why don't we go to the second part? Why don't we pray for persecution? I know people that have. Why don't we? Do you know why I don't? Because I don't want it. That's one reason I don't. Would it build more faith? Would it? Well, I believe that if God calls us to that, yes, it would. But if God calls us to this, I think this is the place we build faith. Friends, I don't think it's one or the other. It's both. We need the faith in God. We need that to be strong. Now, for me, as I look at the others here, it looks pretty difficult. But you know, I don't have grace for that. From what I'm told, there are those who pray for us in America, in our prosperity, that we would remain faithful. And they are the others that are doing that for us. They see it that we have the hard part. In Scripture, it seems to me it would lend that the prosperity, living in prosperity is the hard part, to remain faithful to God. We need faith in God. We need to anchor our faith in God. The battles that we have today, do we use faith? Do we have faith for them? Do we believe God? Hey, do you know what tomorrow will bring for you? Do you know what the tomorrows of your life will bring for you? You don't. We think we might have a pretty good idea. And I'm not saying we don't. But we don't know. We do not know. My question is, how do we prepare for tomorrow? How do we prepare for tomorrows in our lives? It seems to me the best way that I can prepare, and I think for you too, the best way we can prepare for tomorrow, whatever tomorrow brings, is to live today the way that God has called us to live it. If you want to be faithful tomorrow, you need to be faithful today. If you want to be faithful in the lot that God gives you next week, 5 years from now, or whenever He gives you that plate of what you don't really want, it's really not what we're asking for. If you want to be faithful at that time, you need to be faithful today. We need a faith in God that what He gives us is from Him. I repeat, I believe the best way we prepare for tomorrow is to live today as He has called us to live. Shall we kneel for prayer? Set before us, laying off what we don't need, laying off what is bothersome to us, and running the race, the one that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. And here there's other translations that are focusing on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Friends, I think that is where it is at. We need to focus on Him. If we're in the first part of the chapter, or in the other's part, we need to focus on Him. Fix our eyes on Him. He is the one that we want to be like. Did you know that we become like what we look at? I know of a boy. He did not want to be like his dad. That was his goal, not to be like his dad. He turned out right like him. Why? Because he looked at him. That was his focus. We become what we focus on. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. God bless you.